It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Mr. Richard Roper has stepped into the studio.
Yep, got my Moncada for MVP shirt on. Just had it made today.
Very cool.
He's being
front running.
Being brought to us. Don't tell me.
I know who's bringing me.
Who's bringing you?
Go ahead.
No, you tell me.
You may be the only one who does know.
I think if you
turns
if
out.
I don't if I say it, it doesn't count.
Wait, hold on. No, I made a mistake here. I've lost it. I think I do know. I think it's Architect, right? It's always Architect.
Yes.
But
yes.
I just want to make sure that didn't change.
No,
so let's
no.
just go with that.
Yes.
All right. It's Architect. Yes. And my dear friends, Kristen and David Berryhill.
The best.
They are.
All right. Okay. We got to, before we get to the movies.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Did you see this story in Bleacher Report about how blanked up the Green Bay Packers are?
Wow.
Did you see this? It turns out that there's a bunch of whistleblowers inside the Packers organization that want to tell their story, including two guys who've actually named in the story who are former.
How about that?
JerMichael Finley and Greg Jennings, who forever Jennings was Rodgers' guy. That was his go-to receiver.
Kind of his Gronk.
And Jennings says Rodgers sort of is done with Jennings after all these years. He's kind of turned his back on
Rodgers is a that? Jag.
He totally is.
And that Kevin McCarthy, right?
Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. Who's Kevin McCarthy?
The senator from.
Yeah, thank you.
Or congressman, whatever.
Mike McCarthy, the coach that had the Sharpie in his ear.
Yeah.
Total moron.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I think Aaron Rodgers gets the prize, doesn't he?
How about
for the worst of the worst?
But he always seems so likable on those commercials where the insurance agent and the sports agent are fighting for his affections.
No, he didn't.
And the discount double check.
Because he makes them fight for his affections. And he makes fun of the guy for taking a deuce in the bathroom, you know, that was on fire.
And of course,
remember that?
Yeah. Well, and you know, the other thing too, remember his brother was on one of the bachelorette thing.
Yeah.
And then he wouldn't talk to his family because he was dating that Olivia Munn, the Hollywood actress. And then all of a sudden he broke up with his entire family.
Yeah. Every story about him is always very painful. It just points to him not being a good guy.
That's not a Packer thing to do. You don't throw the family over for the actress.
Well, in the story, it says McCarthy basically tried to have some sort of intervention with Rodgers about the family issue, and Rodgers basically told him to screw off.
Yeah, and McCarthy was, instead of going to team meetings, he was taking massages in his office.
Towards the end of his tenure.
If you know what that means.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
It could mean
Bobby anything. Bobby K. Special.
It means he's getting a massage from Ming Fu Hulu. All right.
Wait, hold on. What it means.
Before we go anywhere, Kim Gordon has got Jussie Smollett news.
Uh-oh.
Take a deep breath. Are you ready? We have a statement from the city of Chicago. He has refused to reimburse the city for the cost of police overtime spent investigating his false report. The law department of the city now drafting a civil complaint. A suit will be filed and in the very near future. And they said that's all they have to say about it at this time.
Oh, my God!
And he might be returning to Empire. Sounds like he is, according to Taraji P. Henson.
Interesting stuff, as always. You're going to go after everybody else? Like they went after, there's a lot of people that would hold their money if they're going to start going after everybody who's had them using resources for something that didn't pan out.
That may well be true, but I want Jussie's money. I want $130,000 from that guy because he did it, and he brought international besmirchment to the city of Chicago. The crown prince of Saudi Arabia is like, take a look at those guys. What goes on there, Chicago?
I cannot believe it.
It's so crazy over there with the police and the thing. This poor Jussie Smollett.
Saudi Arabian prince and mini mart owner, both that you're same exact.
Same thing as far as I'm concerned. All right, hold on.
So the first Pet Cemetery.
Yeah, let's do the movies.
I'm trying to.
All right, so Pet Cemetery.
We're talking about Pet Cemetery?
Yes.
Stephen King, who of course has been the source of. His books have probably been turned into more great movies than any author, going all the way back to those pikers, you know, Dickens and Shakespeare and Jane Austen. You think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, everything from Carrie to It to Misery to Stand By Me to Shawshank Redemption, you name it. Stephen King. So Pet Sematary was one of his most popular novels. And they made a movie about it in 1989. I actually reviewed that movie in 1989. I think Roger took the day off, and I gave it 0 stars. So the good news is this one is not a 0-star movie, but I still kind of hate it. And I'm giving it 2 stars. And I'll tell you why. If people don't know the story of Pet Cemetery, family moves from Boston to the obligatory house in the country in Maine, surrounded by 50 acres of densely, you know, populated woods, which is never a good idea, right? And there's a pet cemetery and then an Indian burial ground. And they hear that if you bury your pet there, it'll come back to life. And then maybe that would even work for a human. So mom and dad, the little girl gets hit by a giant truck zooming on the highway because they also buy the house right next to, you know, I Go Too Fast in Maine.
Right.
Smashes the nine-year-old, kills the little child, the adorable little girl.
Oh.
And they give her a funeral and a burial and the whole thing. And then what does dad do in the middle of the night? He digs her up and takes her to the burial ground, drops her in that burial ground so she'll come back to life.
Okay.
So here's a little clip from that family film.
What's going on?
I wasn't ready to say goodbye to her.
You're scaring me. Just tell me what you're talking about.
It's my fault she died. I had to bring her back. There's a place rage deep in the woods. Beyond the pet cemetery. It brings things back.
Are you happy, Mommy?
Oh, God.
That's creepy.
All right, I'm done.
No, I'm not. So I like it.
That's the nine-year-old daughter who has now come back and walks in. And mommy, as you could tell, is freaking out because daddy thought it'd be a good idea to bring her back to life. The thing is, the ground is sour. So when they come back, you know, they never come back the same way.
No.
You know, it's zombie time, you know. And so the little girl is really mad now because she didn't want to be brought back because she's dead. So now you've got a movie where the nine-year-old is trying to kill her parents, basically. And I always have a problem when movies put the children in that role of being the killers or being the psychos or whatever. And I know it's all make-believe and everything, but it's hard to separate yourself from the little girl playing that role and what parent would want her daughter to play that role of sticking a knife into mommy and twisting it.
Ugh.
And that's just one of the most grisly scenes that I've seen in movies. There's plenty others like that. So it's really well made, and I think some people are going to love it. But I'm telling you right now, I found it more grotesque and exploitive and sadistic than really scary.
Oh.
You know, gross, disgusting. And yeah, I mean, you're bringing a cat. The cat dies. You know, Church the cat, perfectly nice little cat. He also gets run over by a truck. Church comes back from the dead, from the burial ground, snarling and growling and scratching and got those wild eyes, jumping in the crib, trying to go after the baby. I mean, come on. That's not good.
No, I think I'm going to go see Us because I haven't seen that yet.
There
so if you want to get
that's
scared.
Real horror.
Right.
So 2 stars for Pet Sematary, mainly because it is a well-directed, well-acted film. But it's just, to me, it's not one of Stephen King's. The novel is a lot more interesting than the movie.
All right. I want to find out about Shazam on the other side. Don't anybody move. Mr. Richard Roper is here. He's reviewing. Coming up after 6 o'clock, we're going to give you a little bit of an in-depth into this story that is shaking Aurora, where there's a guy involved in one of the most grisly series of murders in Chicago history who has been released from jail and now is taking up residence in Aurora. What was that series of murders all about? You're going to want to stay tuned for that story coming up. But first, let's check in. Kim, what's happening at the top of the hour?
Ro, as we told you, Empire actor Jesse Smollett refuses to pay up. Now the city's taking legal action.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Coming up, Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN. Richard Roper is here. Shazam is a movie that is coming out this weekend. And it's kind of Deadpool-ish, right?
Well, yeah, that's a great description of it, like a PG Deadpool. You know, the history of Shazam is really fascinating because in the comic books back in the 30s, this character was called Captain Marvel. That was the name of the character for decades. And then the company that had the Shazam, at the time Captain Marvel, they went out of business, and the Marvel Universe snapped up the name Captain Marvel. Not that long ago. That's why they've only recently had the movie with Brie Larson in it. They couldn't have a Captain Marvel character back in 2001, 2008, when they were first doing Iron Man and stuff, because that Captain Marvel was still this guy. So now DC, the other comic universe, this is the Superman, Batman universe, they just 4 or 5 years ago said, we're going to call him Shazam. So that's why there isn't a long history of Shazam comics, because it was Captain Marvel. But now Captain Marvel's a woman, and Shazam's a boy, not really a man.
But Shazam was on Saturday morning television.
That was a different Shazam.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
No, really?
Yeah, that was actually, yeah, that's not the same Shazam story as this one, which is actually Big. Remember the movie Big? Everybody loved the movie Big,
yeah.
Right?
Tom Hanks.
Big meets Superman. That's what this movie is. 14-year-old boy. He lives in a foster home in Cincinnati. And through a series of things that happen in these sorts of movies, he learns that if he says the word Shazam, he becomes a 35-year-old superhero and then has to figure out his powers. So it's kind of like, you know, when Spider-Man first figures out his stuff,
yeah.
But also the Deadpool thing. So it's a lighthearted, there's some drama, you know, in it. It is PG-13. But compared to most of these movies, this guy, it's because he's a 14-year-old in the superhero's body, that gives it the big element where he, you know, he's goofy. He says, oh, wow. He realizes he looks like he's 35.
Like Tom Hanks did when in
Big. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Okay. So it's like, you know, his first instinct is to buy beer and he takes one drink of it and spits it out. Ooh, that's horrible. And then goes and buys a bunch of candy because he's 14.
But it's still triggered by the word Shazam.
But yeah. It wasn't the TV show when we were kids. I mean, I was a kid.
I never saw the TV show. I don't know anything about the TV show.
I remember the TV show.
Yeah, Shazam and Isis. It used to be
Isis, right? There was the almighty Isis,
right? And then she would say Isis, 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 or something, and then turn into a queen. And
they were probably not using that anymore, huh?
Yeah,
that one doesn't hold up as well.
Yeah, it's sort of like
that. Yeah, that's true. But Shazam, I mean, it was kind of creepy because it felt like a little like a molester story. It was this guy who was traveling around with a kid, who would say Shazam, and then he would become this superhero. Like an adult superhero.
Well, I don't know. That sounds like the same story. I don't know anything about the TV show.
There was a guy who drove him around in a van.
Oh.
Well, and see, that part was like an older guy who was like his mentor.
Oh, geez.
Oh, I hope you don't have to become
Shazam.
Did he
tell him
to
put the lotion in the basket?
It was weird. It was very weird, yeah.
Wow. I honestly, I can tell you this. I've never seen the television show. I don't know if there's a connection with this movie. Maybe there is. I could have missed all that. My understanding is what they told me was it was based on this comic book character who for 60 years was known as Captain Marvel and then was renamed Shazam for this franchise. Now, Zachary Levi, who was the Chuck in Chuck, and is in the second season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, terrific actor. Mm-hmm. He plays the grown-up Shazam, and he's perfect for it because he's a great-looking guy. He's like 6'4", you know, muscular and all that stuff.
Right.
But he's got that sense of humor, so he can play a kid, you know, like a kid at heart and also a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So he's terrific in there. A lot of neat little messages about family and sticking up for each other and, you know, about bullying and how to combat it. And then they just have a lot of fun with the superhero thing. There's one point where he's up in the sky and the bad guy, the evil doctor bad guy, is up in the sky too, about a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're always up there. And every time the evil guy says something, he goes, I can't hear you. You're like a mile away. I don't know what you're saying to me. And the guy's going, I will destroy you, Shazam, and I will kill your family.
This is connected because there was the same sort of thing in the 1970s TV thing.
Oh, then I'm wrong. Then there was some other Shazam before.
Yeah.
I was told, and I will have to go back and look at my press. I was told that this is a 5-year-old franchise.
I just want to know.
A first movie. But clearly, the TV show was out there, so they must have thought they were losing the rights. I don't know. We're getting bogged down.
Yeah,
this is a movie that I'm reviewing. I don't know anything about the TV.
Is there an older guy in a van who often will say to him, "Would you like my beer nuts?"
No,
there's not. That doesn't happen.
Really?
No, that happened in the 70s TV
show.
Maybe
in the second movie there will be.
So
I don't know.
What were you giving this movie?
3.5 stars.
3.5 stars
for this movie. Right. This movie right here.
No, we like
this movie.
All right.
Yeah,
we get it. Yeah, we get it.
Because I'm lost now. I'm going to go back and watch that TV show.
Oh, my. It's so bad. That TV show is,
really,
I bet it's on YouTube, is the single worst TV. It was on CBS on Saturday mornings.
Did he hang out with He-Man and She-Ra?
No, it was ISIS. And sometimes they would be on the same show. But it was one week would be ISIS and the other week it would be Shazam.
Oh,
it was very weird.
I loved ISIS.
Yeah.
ISIS, I did too.
See, now that's a soundbite we're never going to isolate right there. Out of love.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you. The Trump administration would like to see you in the office. They've just arrived. All right. Thank you very much, Richard Roper.
Let's check in.
We've got, yes, you will, at the White Sox and then post-White Sox action tomorrow right here on 720 WGN with this, the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. We've got Kim Gordon's news in two.